All right, good evening, my brothers and my sisters. Getting live on Facebook again. Today we're doing a special episode of the PRF Table. You know, every week we've been dealing with a new subject matter. We've been talking from this whole notion of financially healthy churches. And we're grateful for everybody who's tuning in live on Facebook, as well as everybody who is joining us right now on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to us online and you want to jump into this conversation, all you got to do is dial 347-215-7934. So listen, we're just so grateful to be with you one more time. We're going to bring Mama to the table because Mama is always here with us and she's not feeling too well as we're dealing with financially healthy. But Mama, we do want you to say hi to the listeners. So Mama, speak to the listeners as you always do.
Okay, thank you. And good evening, my PRF family. So good to be with you all this evening. And as usual, we appreciate you. And we don't take your kindness, you know, for granted. We are so thankful and appreciative that you've taken out this time to be with us this evening. And so, with that being said, I'll give it back over to Dr. Dunlap. Thank you.
All right, we're going to let Mama take the night off, but I just could not allow Mama to speak and greet y'all. So listen, here is where we are. We're talking about financially healthy churches. And Brother Mark just joined us as well, and if he wants to come in, he knows what to do. Man, it's been so much going on since last week. We talked about financially healthy individuals the first week, and now, last week, we talked about financially healthy leaders, and God has just had me, he's been having me on this thing. I've kind of been out of control in a good way. But tonight we're dealing with financially healthy churches. And so you understand that what we have been doing is we've been building this thing up. We've been building some of the momentum. And so we're happy with the new format of the PRF Table. At least I am. It's been working. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't think I'm going to cover and deal with everything that we've been talking about on the Facebook Live a couple of days ago, but we want to talk about some characteristics. We'll talk about some characteristics of a financially healthy church. So let's do it, Mama. Let's do it. Here's the first thing, and you'll get some words, you know that, but I'm going to give it to you and we're out.
Okay. Thank you.
Listen, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we want you to share this with your friends. I say get bold, share it with your pastor, share it with other ministers, because listen, we really need the church to get positioned for what God wants us to do. And so listen, what we're going to do is just run through a couple of things. Mama, you can go ahead and mute yourself on your end, so that way I can just keep your microphone open. So one of the things go ahead and mute yourself, Mom. Go ahead and mute yourself. That way, if you want to come back in, just unmute yourself and give us whatever you got if you have it. So we're dealing with this theme of financially healthy churches. And one of the things that I know for certain, is that there's a lot of churches that appear to be financially healthy. Let me help y'all out real quick. Just because you built a new building does not mean you're financially healthy. It doesn't mean that you're broke, but let me tell you something. People all day long purchase homes that they truly can't afford. So can we clear the air right there? That doesn't mean just because you're buying new stuff, because you're buying church vans, because you put a new wing on the building, that does not mean that you're financially healthy. All right, here we go. I said this the other day, but I got to run through them. And before I start running through them, I'm bringing Brother Mark in because he already coming out the gate with this. So, oh, my goodness. Go ahead, my brother. This is Brother Mark we bring it to the table.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Dr. Dunlap?
We're doing well, sir. We're doing well.
Awesome, awesome. And Mom, I hope that you feel better, get better soon. I just wanted to come in on what you said about that, because what about the houses and buying stuff and can't afford it. I sold real estate for about 8 years. And there's a difference between price and cost. and that's
good.
What and that's what people fail to understand. You know, you it's no different than a car. You know, price and cost is two different things, and you might be able to make the payment, but can you afford to fix it if it tears up? And those are the things, and those are the things that, that I don't think that we go deep enough to look at. I mean, I got a chance to visit a church in the local area earlier this year, and they made a vow for last year to help several organizations. They were going to give out $110,000 to nonprofit organizations that are working in the community to make a difference. And I happened to be there, and there was a lady that had an organization that she took it was something like 300 and something people off the street and found permanent homes for them. And and they presented her, I want to say I think it was $25,000 or $30,000 check that day.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, listen, let me tell you what we have. Let me tell you what I got today for y'all. So here's a characteristic that you can think about. And listen, if you're listening, we want y'all to be sharing this, sharing it, sharing it. One of the characteristics of a financially healthy church is a church that is not fighting about money during their business meetings, during their church conferences. If you're fussing about money, now listen, I'm not talking about, and I said this up there, I'm not talking about it if somebody is not being a good steward. But what I'm talking about is, why are y'all bickering about so much about the church finances? And you, that's not a sign of being financially healthy. You know, I belonged to a church at one point in my adult life for like 7 years. And there was never... 7 years. I was at a church, Mark, for 7 years, and not one time was there ever any fussing and fighting about money. How is that possible?
Wow.
That's it. And when I first had, you know, being a part of this ministry, this church, when I promise you, when I just was in the first business meeting, right? I'm like, man, you know, it's like, hey, here it is, right? So that's another thing. Transparency about the financial standing of the church. That's another characteristic of a financially healthy church. It wasn't like we had money out in droves, right? It wasn't like we had money that was just, you know, like a unlimited pocketbook, so to speak. But there was never no fussing and fighting about it. You know what? Because there was some trust with the leaders. There was never no issue about what the leaders were doing with the money, being irresponsible, none of that. And it was so – and this is what I loved about it. I loved about it. Some of y'all going should be able to just take this and implement this in your church, because this is about helping everybody. I love when the pastor said, here is the financial report. It had everything broken down. And he said, listen, if you have any questions, talk to the secretary, talk to the financial secretary. Here's the contact information. I'm like, what? You giving me a go ahead? If I see something crazy on this thing or something I don't understand, to go ahead and just say, hey, no, I need to find out about this. And see, that put things into perspective for me. It allowed me to say, you know what? That's how you keep order. Because if everybody want to talk about it in the business meeting, well, there was $20 given to Brother Mark. There was $25 given to Brother Dunlap. There was $13.22. Listen, man, folks get all irritated, wrapped around the axle, whatever. So characteristic, that's characteristic, that there's some transparency. Can I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
Not only is there transparency about how money is being spent in the church, it also includes salaries. See, right now I'm watching CNN, or CNN is watching me, and right now we're on the verge of a government shutdown, right? You've been keeping up with it. You know this is something that's going on. And what's amazing to me is that how anybody can be so wrapped around the axle about, oh, we're going to shut down, we're going to shut down. You need to be worried about what the church is going to shut down. Because there's a lot of churches that's not financially healthy, and it's at the same point of where we are in our federal government. All right, so let me keep going. Oh, my goodness. There is no begging for tithes and offerings. That's one characteristic that I want y'all to think about this stuff. Think about what's going on in your own church. There is no begging for tithes and offerings. I'm going to hit it. If you need a scripture, I'm going to give you one right now. And listen, just let we got to take the words of the Bible, and we have to let the Spirit flow and put it into a perspective where we can understand it. Y'all know Moses is my guy. You know, there was a situation one time where Moses was about to build a tabernacle for the Lord in Exodus, right? And listen to what God said. Moses, or the Bible, right? Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who is willing. So if you're willing, why I got to beg you? Why do you need to hear me say this every single Sunday? Why do I got to try to pump you up about tithes? This is tithes and offering time. Come on. Listen, you got folks clapping and a broke button to discuss it. They ain't got nothing to clap about. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
they're in situations where it's like, you know, we're just going to do the religious thing, but that's not a sign of a financially healthy church. When you got to beg, listen, I'm trying to find what translation that I heard is bring, accept the gifts from all of those whose hearts have been prompted to give. If you got to prick and prod me every Sunday morning to give out tithes and give offerings, then that's a heart problem. But maybe the church has created an environment as such that all you do is you feel beat down if you don't give your tithes and offerings. So you being manipulated by me versus having the fear of the Lord, a reverential fear of the Lord, to give your tithes. Can we keep going, bro?
You can keep going. It definitely stirred up some things about that. You know, I've been part of the financial committee, you know, in ministries for quite some time. And I was part of a ministry where we periodically had to visit the tithe and offering portion of it and to have meetings and to have meetings with members about it. But the thing about that was the members, as they come in, they would see different things coming into the church, television screens and equipment and even a ministry van. But that stuff was coming out of my household. One family was doing that, and that was the thing. You know, the man of God is saying, well, the ministry is doing. No, there's one family doing all this. One family bought the van. One family bought the screen. One family bought the equipment. These are things that one family is doing. And then when I spoke to the man of God about the financial needs of the ministry and tried to get someone to come in, we don't need that. Well, my household is the one that's doing it. You're telling people, and I've heard you tell people, the ministry is buying people homes. No, my wife and myself bought homes for people.
My God.
And the thing about it is, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it to put myself on anything. That was a ministry that my wife and myself had that was within the ministry to help people do.
Mm-hmm.
But long story short, it wore us out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all were financially healthy, and you were making it seem like, right, with the help of the leader, right, was making it seem like the church was financially healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I want the listeners to be able to hear that, because I think I said to y'all before that I was real liberal with this number, right? 7 to 15% of the people in the church are the ones that's really funding most of the things in the church. So if that be the case, that, oh my God, I even had that one down for the night. But if that be the case, then you're not financially healthy as a church. You got some folk that got some loot, but everybody else struggling.
And needless to say, that ministry fold. Needless to say, that ministry fold. Because we never, you know, I could understand. And the thing, you know, there were a few members. Why we're always talking about finances? Because my wife and myself never told anyone what we were doing for the ministry. Because what we do behind closed doors is what we do. So we never voiced, and to this day, we never have voiced what we've done for the ministry. This is my first time even saying something about it, you know, live. But we had to bring it up because we could not continue to keep carrying the ministry. There were one or two other members that gave decently, but my wife and myself, a lot of times we carried it.
Oh my goodness! Listen, we into something. Oh my goodness! I think we got Bishop Zimmerman that you done struck a chord or said something. Is that Bishop Zimmerman on the line with us today?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Amen.
But he's actually correct, because it's a shame that you have those 15%. That remnant will actually be the one to carry the church. I'm sorry, I'm just coming in late, but I'm just catching a small portion of what was discussed. But you have those 15% that's being drained because the 85% not doing their part, and some of them actually have the money, but they just refuse to give too. I'll throw that out there. You have some that have it, and they're just holding on because they don't want to give. You have some that don't have it to give, and they haven't learned how to manage their finances.
That's key.
And I'm talking about even in leadership. Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
In leadership.
Mm.
You know, we were talking about that in my broadcast, how some of them have that perverse spirit in which they will lure the unsuspected person in and take what's in their pocket, but they don't want to give what's in their pocket. And it's a shame that they prostitute or pimp out the very ones that's trying to be faithful.
Ooh. All right, Bishop. All right.
I guess I won't be at somebody else's pulpit this Sunday either, I guess.
That's all right.
You,
it's okay. Hey, you always got a seat at the PRF table. It's okay.
I always said, too, the streets of my pulpit, too. But, you know, I appreciate that at the PRF table.
Amen. Amen. Listen, like I tell everybody, just mute your microphone on your end. I'm gonna keep your mic open if you want to come back in. Listen, I'm gonna hit another point. Thank you so much, Bishop Zimmerman, out of South Carolina. All right, I'm not gonna go back over anything that I went over the other day. God bless you, Pastor Copeland, a good friend of mine from Rama Presbyterian Church in Huntersville, North Carolina. We're talking about financially healthy churches or financially healthy ministries. Here's something I want y'all just to consider. Paul said something in Galatians, and it struck me, and I was doing some preparing. I thought I had everything that I needed for tonight's show, but God laid something on me about another characteristic of financially healthy churches. And a financially healthy church is one that is responsive to the economic needs of another church. Listen to that, Mark. One that responds to the economic needs of another church. Now, what do you mean by that? That's not in the Bible. Okay. Well, let's look at this. My brothers and sisters, he says, share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. That's not me. I know that sounds like me, Mark. That's what Paul said to the church at Galatians. So I read that. I said, share each other's burden. And let me tell you something. How many times has that particular passage of scripture been used, Pastor, about us as individuals helping other people out? Well, don't you think the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who sent Jesus Christ to give us that love ethic of love thy neighbor as thyself, do you think that excludes churches from helping each other? Come on now. Let's think about it. See, a lot of times we don't get people that don't have an opportunity to think about stuff, but that just sounds so simple to me. If you know your church around the corner is struggling, and let me go ahead and give the caveat, because some of y'all like to scapegoat on the caveat. Well, if they're not doing right by the money, all this stuff, okay. Let's say they just are in a place where the people are not financially in the place where they desire to be. You're going to let another church fall? Sitting in the same community, supposed to be serving the same people, is going to get deep when we talk about financially healthy communities next week, because it all ties in. But think about it, Mark. Bear one another's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. When you do that, you're fulfilling the whole law of Christ, right? But I love it. You're not fooling anybody. You're only fooling yourself. So if you call yourself just ignoring what some other church is going through and you got the resources, there's something else going on there. Financially, another characteristic of financially healthy churches is one that asks for help. So let's bring these two scriptures together. One that asks for help. What does it say in Proverbs 11 and 2? And y'all heard me say it before, and I'm going to keep on saying it till I'm blue in the face. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility there is wisdom. It does not make any sense for you to be sitting out there struggling, some of y'all who are listening, some of y'all who are watching right now, to be struggling as a church. Know you're not financially healthy, but won't ask nobody for help. We mentioned this one in the Legacy Conference, right? When pride comes, then comes shame.
Right.
But with humility, there is wisdom. So if you're willing to be humble and say, you know what, the giving is down, and we need some help. Let me tell you, one of the worst things that can happen is because of pride and shame. And the whole outside world, outside of the church, right? The whole outside world know you can't pay your light bill at the church. The person at the light bill company know that such and such church can't pay their light bill. But y'all have not asked another church for help. See, let me tell you, when you don't ask somebody for help, that's on you. But when you ask me for help and then I don't help you and I'm financially able to do so, then now that's on me. Either way, there's going to be some shame that's going to be there. But that lets us know what type of relationship that we truly have, right? So a characteristic of financially healthy church is one that will ask for help. Now listen, I'm not talking about asking and bleeding the members. I'm talking about, see, every time we have, we got 8 minutes. Every time we have these anniversaries, Mark, every time we have these pastor anniversaries, these 15-day events for the pastor, every time we have these homecomings, we have all these annual events. We want every church to show up. I want your choir to come. I want Brian's choir to come. We want all that. But then when you get in trouble, when stuff is not going like you really need it to go, for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, just won't ask for help. We ask for help, you have no problem when we got all these special annual days coming. So why not ask for help with some real deal stuff? What about somebody inside the church that needs some help, but you're not able to do it inside of your church? You going to just let that person inside your church just go without? Y'all got me all into this tonight, Mark. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm gonna give another one. I'm not even rushing tonight. I'm so glad because I got two more. Another characteristic about a financially healthy church. Another characteristic is when you're able to respond to the needs of the people inside the church without ignoring the needs of the people on the outside of the church. And I say it like this. You're able to help take care of the folks inside of blank church where you the pastor, without ignoring the needs of the people outside of the church in the community. Now, let me flip that thing. Another characteristic, same one, this is changing up a little bit, is when you can respond to the need. I'm going into next week. When you can respond to the needs of the people in the community without ignoring the people inside your church. Don't go sending stuff over to Africa, Asia, Norway, Antarctica, and you got people down the street that don't have no food. Everybody don't want to hear it. But you know what? Your neighbor is the one you walking by every day. Your neighbor is the one you driving by every day. The neighbor is the one that's holding that sign out saying, I will work for food. I'm homeless. Your neighbor is the one sitting up under the bridge. All right. It's tight, Mark. It's tight, Mark, but it's there. And let me say this. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 12? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? The greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you are a financially healthy church, you're not ignoring neither one. See, that becomes this thing where it becomes a little bit complex, Brian, because how do we grapple and how do we deal with sometimes limited resources to be able to help people inside the church but then outside the church as well? You want me to invite people to come to church. Well, heck, you ain't helping nobody outside the church, so why you want me to invite them inside? Or vice versa. I know you ain't helping the folks inside your church, and you want me to invite somebody to come in there that I know need help, but they're not going to be able to get it. Come on, don't make sense. I'm only saying that not to beat you up. I'm saying that because we want people to get positioned to be financially healthy. It is necessary to be financially healthy. It's necessary. It's necessary for ministry. So many ministries fail because of finances, where there's misappropriation and all that kind of stuff, but so many fail because of that. Oh, my goodness. I think I got one more thing for y'all. One more thing. This one's going to be kind of interesting for most folks. So let me just recap. No fighting. If there's no fighting about money at business conferences or church meetings, right? No begging about tithes and offerings. We dealt with that, right? There's transparency about the financial standing of the church, right? There's no secret accounts. You know, the pastor's not getting raises when the church don't know that they get raises. You know, we hired you for $45,000 a year. And hold on, how'd you get $55,000? And, you know, that stuff ain't reflect. We ain't dealing with that, right? You're able to respond to the needs of the people inside the church without ignoring the needs of the people on the outside of the church. Oh, man, this one right here going to knock them out, Mark. They're positioned to take care of their widows and orphans. Uh-oh, this one is really going to hurt some folk. And I don't do it to be intentional, but, yeah, because in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, but those who won't care for their relatives, those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than an infidel, is what the King James says, if I'm not mistaken. Worse than an unbeliever. And that was talking about widows and orphans, right? And you know, let's expand the scripture, right? If a widow has children or grandchildren, right, that burden should not be on the church, right? Because you have children and grandchildren. So the inference is, listen, you need to take care of family. But what about the ones as widows indeed that don't have? Where their fallback at? Where's the fallback on those individuals who do not have? Where they go? And don't say you're my church family, but then we don't do stuff like family. We don't follow these same type of scriptures that talk about family, but we're supposed to be a church family. Well, what the heck does a church family look like outside of the regular side of the family that the Bible talks about? I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm saving this one for the last 45 seconds. Let me. All right. So again, no begging for tithes and offering. And again, you know, that's one of those things, Mark, that it, you have to get to that point. It's something that you have to teach.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I do it? I'm just going to bring this up and I'm going to drop the mic. before I drop the mic, what we want y'all to do is to go to prfministry.org, keep up with what we got going on at the PRF Institute. Thank you for watching the PRF table for all of us here. This thing about Malachi chapter 3 with tithes and offerings. A financially healthy church is one that has a storehouse. Financially healthy church is one that has a storehouse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there may be meat in, okay? But you don't have nothing. But you're saying bring it to the storehouse, and you're using that scripture. You don't have a storehouse. Now, see, this is why I brought up Galatians chapter 6, right? Because you're bringing it in, and you're not able to store anything up. So that means when people need help, you have nothing to help them with. So that means you need to be able to go to somebody else who has some resources that you don't have. Because evidently what's being brought into the storehouse is not able to be collected enough or coming at the rate that it should be coming in to be able to be stored up. Or, you know, people are doing some wrong things by it. So listen, that's it. That's it. Thank you for watching. Thank you. Listen, this is a stretch for me. I'm sitting in this hotel room. I said, you know what, I'm gonna do Facebook Live today on the PRF table. So all y'all who are watching right now, this is the first time that we've done the PRF table, and I'm going to find a way to bring other people on so you can see in the little corner, you can see somebody else's, like see Mark or see Mama or Ernestine or whoever inside the box so we can bring more people into it that way. So, again, thank you all for joining us here on the PRF table. We will see you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be talking about financially healthy communities, something that we need to be talking about. God bless y'all. I love you. Peace.